You will open up your Bibles with me to the 13th chapter of Luke. I'd like to read a parable that Jesus shared with his disciples. And it is really a foundation for a message the Lord had given me that I thought would be sharing this morning. But I guess nothing. The Lord just had something else in mind. So I want to be faithful to share, whether it's regardless of the length this morning, maybe a little shorter than normal, but we'll see. But in the 13th chapter of Luke, I'd like to begin with the 6th verse. Said he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and he sought fruit thereon, and he found none. Then said he to the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, just let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. That parable is a commentary on the love and the care that Jesus Christ has for each and every soul. The scripture tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And repentance is something that does not always happen immediately. It does not always happen overnight, because if we consider our lives, there are times that the Lord extended his mercy on us and extended time for us that we would come to a place that our heart would be in a condition to ask his forgiveness. And that is one of the reasons why the Lord is tarrying his coming this morning, is because he wants there to be more come into the fold. I know that hell is enlarging herself this morning. But I also know that every soul that comes into the kingdom of God, because God tarries his coming, means that heaven is going to be bigger also. One soul. And we leave those decisions to God. That's way above our pay grade this morning. But we do know that the scripture does say, as we quoted, that God is not willing that any should perish. And that is why he's extending time this morning. And time is very short. But here we read about, I can almost see God, the owner of the vineyard, walking through. And he's looking at a fig tree that had been planted. And I didn't have time to look it up. But, and some of you may know, I think when you plant a fig tree, I want to say it's 7 years or three. There's a number of years at least before it will bear figs. Mm-hmm. You don't just plant a fig tree and come the next year and expect to find it bearing fruit. Mm-hmm. The Lord does not expect that either. But when God, or when the master came looking, it wasn't right after that fig tree had been planted. It had been planted long enough that it was time for it to bear fruit. Mm-hmm. So it's very important to understand that in this parable. It wasn't like that the owner of the vineyard was wrong. And it was like, no, these need 3 years before they'll start bearing. It was time for it to be bearing, and it had been time for 3 years. So it had been planted for a number of years, and then the owner of the vineyard came and looked at it and said, I've been looking for 3 years for this to bear fruit. It's just taking up space. If it's not bearing fruit, we need to cut it down and put something in more profitable. And yet, the dresser of the vineyard that I see as being our Lord Jesus Christ this morning said, Father, could you give me a little bit more time? I'm so thankful this morning that we have a Savior that is asking the Father in our behalf and in the behalf of our loved ones. He's saying, Father, I know that you've had mercy. I know that you've given them ample time. It's been 3 years that they should have been bearing fruit. But, Father, would you give me a little bit more time? You know that's the Savior that we serve this morning, because Jesus came not to destroy the earth. He came to save souls. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus came to seek and to save those that were lost. And when there are those that have rejected the Lord, and there are those that we might say they know better, and when there are those that maybe sometimes in our humanity and in our righteous indignation, if you will, if you want to spiritualize it, you could say there is a place and there is a time of judgment. The scripture says, let judgment begin at the house of God. Let it begin with us. But at the same time, while judgment does bring people to God, I will say without the long suffering and mercy of God, I would be far from here this morning. Even after I got saved, it was because times and mistakes and problems in my life that the Lord Jesus was there to say, Father, don't cut him off yet, but I want to work with him. I want some more time because I want him to bear fruit. That is God's desire for us this morning, that we bear fruit. And maybe we'll get into more of that next Sunday. But the Lord wants us to bear fruit, but he is long-suffering to us, Word. He is long-suffering this morning. And when we pray for those that are lost, it's not that my prayer is going to save anybody. We pray, Lord, would you save this person? Lord, would you save them? Because they have a decision to make. Mm-hmm. The Lord can't save anybody either unless they open up their heart and ask him for it. But what our prayer does is doing just what this vineyard did. The dresser of the vineyard, he was like, Father, would you give more time? Lord, would you not cut them off, but would you give them another window of opportunity? Would you extend your mercy? That's the difference that our prayers make with God. He hears our prayers. He sees our tears. He sees our sleepless nights. And he looks down and he hears our prayers saying, Lord, would you have mercy? And he's like, yes, I was about ready to bring down some judgment because I heard one of my children pray. I heard some of my saints praying and I'm going to be moved in where there should have been judgment. I'm going to have mercy. That the Lord hears the prayers of the Moseses of today that says when he was ready to destroy the people of Israel and Moses fell on his face before God and intervened and said, Father, just take my life too then. Have you all ever felt that way? Lord, just take my life too. But Lord, would you spare him? Do you know the Lord is in the business of having mercy? There's a day coming and it's coming fast that mercy's going to end. But it's not there yet. And so he said, Lord, let it alone this year. In other words, don't cut it off till I shall dig about it and dung it. In other words, and this leads into where we were going to go, but the Lord also wants to cultivate. He wants to cultivate souls. That's what it means to dig around it, to fertilize it. Where there has been no fruit, the Lord wants to come in and he wants to dig. Why do you dig? Because the ground's hard. Do you know we have a job and a responsibility that we will visit another day? But I want us to consider God wanting to cultivate in other people's lives where there's ground that is hard. Mm-hmm. And we look at hard soil, and when the seed fell on hard ground, it doesn't grow. But what he said here is, Father, Lord, let it alone and let me dig. Let me soften. Do you know that God hardened Pharaoh's heart? And the scripture says that God will harden whom he will harden and soften whom he will soften. The Lord has the power to soften hearts today. And so my prayer is to the Lord today, Father, send the rain to soften the ground. Lord, take your shovel and take your hoe. Take whatever you do, Lord, and go to that ground that is hard and dig about it. Because we want to see fruit. We want to see fruit in our own lives. And I want to see fruit in the lives of those that are not bearing fruit like the Lord wants. Lord, would you extend your mercy? This is a prayer. Lord, extend your mercy. Lord, hold off just a little bit longer and give opportunity for people to start to bear fruit and be where you want them to be. But we have a Savior that loves this morning. We have a Savior that cares for those that are lost. And that's the reason the little lost, the lamb that strayed away, you could say, well, he went off on his own. Like that dog that the birds lost that strayed away. You didn't lose him. He lost himself. He strayed away from you all. And yet they went looking for him. You know, that's what the Lord does. We could say, well, the dog walked off. The dog got, you know, he got lost on his own. But do you know that sometimes people get lost? And we have a Savior, a good shepherd this morning that is going out seeking those that are lost. Seeking those that have lost their way. Seeking those that have been deceived. Seeking those that have gotten turned around and lost their way. Seeking those that have lost their perspective. Seeking those that one time had an experience. Seeking those that one time sat under the sound of the gospel. Seeking for the saints' children that have lost their way. There's a Savior that is out seeking for them today. And he's saying, Lord, give me a little bit more time because I want to soften. I want to dig around and I want to cultivate and I want to fertilize that where there has been barren ground, that there would be more opportunity to bring forth fruit. Over in Isaiah in the 42nd chapter, in the third verse, Isaiah 42 chapter 3, the scripture says, a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. A bruised reed, he's not going to break. As long as smoking flax, he's not going to quench. You know this morning that it's kind of like when you have a fire and the fire seemingly goes out through the night and it looks like the coals are dead. You go and what do? You start blowing on it, don't you? Want to see if there's a little bit of fire still left. Want to see if there's still, and you see just a little glimmer, a little burn. Little bit of red, maybe a little tendril of smoke, and you think there's still fire there. On the surface, it looks cold. On the surface, it looks dead. You know, the Lord is not interested as long as there is just a little glimmer of hope. As long as there's just... As long as there's just a little bit of smoke, he said he's not going to quench it. He's not going to put it out. He's not, you know, sometimes people, they may be a little quick to judge, a little quick to pour water on something. But the Lord is here wanting to work with souls. That's why Jesus came. Because we were lost. We needed the Lord. And so he said a broken reed. A bruised reed, he's not going to break. You know, sometimes a bruised reed, it's fixing to break. And there are a lot of broken reeds. But there are some reeds that are bruised. They've been injured. And the Lord is not going to break them, but he's going to take time to nourish, to strengthen, to restore, and to renew. And a smoking flax shall he not quench. If there's just a little bit of life, a little bit of spark, don't give up hope this morning. Can we encourage ourselves in the Lord today? Don't give up hope. Because I've seen the Lord in some of the most, I've seen souls that seem like they were so far gone, caught up in their own way, caught up in their own deceptions, caught up with the things of the world, caught up with addictions, and it seems like it's a mountain. There's no hope. It's impossible. And yet we serve a God of miracles. We serve a God that can bring about a miraculous change. So pray on. Pray on this morning. Pray till the answer comes, because knowing that we are praying to a Savior, that as long as there's a possibility, he's going to keep working. He's going to keep dealing. And when you pray for your lost loved ones and it seems like you see no change, know that God is working where man cannot work. God is working where parents and grandparents cannot work. God is working where the pastor cannot work. God is working where you cannot do anything. We have a Savior this morning that can work in ways in the quiet of the night. Amen. He can work through circumstances. He can bring along the right person, the right situation at the right time to begin to restore and renew and bring light where there was darkness. But this speaks of the mentality of our Lord this morning, that a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench, because he wants life, and that's his desire, and that's his purpose. There's another scripture I'd like to share over in Galatians 6:1. It says, if a man be overtaken in a fault, it says, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Why? Not in a spirit of self-righteousness that I'm way up here and you're down here, but there's a place of trying to restore and correction in a spirit of meekness. But take note of the reason he said, restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. We are all men and women of like passions. And if it were not for the grace and the mercy and the love and the faithfulness of our Lord, who of us would be here today? So when people fall away and are overtaken, look on with love. Because it could have been me. And in your dealings with them, be gentle, be kind, be long-suffering, because our Lord came to seek and to save those that are lost. I'm thankful to serve a Savior like that. And he's working where there's trees that are planted that are not bearing fruit. He's saying, Father, give me a little bit more time, because he wants there to be fruit.
The labor is so hard, and the workers are so tired, and our weary hearts are longing for a rest. And we find we're getting anxious to be in that happy land where we'll enjoy some peace and happiness. But wait. Come and take our children home.